And I want to spend just a moment in one verse in Matthew chapter number 5. We've been considering the Sermon on the Mount. And there's a lot of places we could go tonight, but I have a simple thought from Matthew chapter 5. We'll start reading in verse 1. The Bible said, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I want to just deal with a portion of this verse tonight for just a moment. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Let's pray a moment. Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us first. We thank you for the time we've had together tonight. We thank you for the singing that we've heard, Lord, for what our hearts have felt. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. And I pray you help me now as I preach to exalt the Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we listen, that our hearts will be helped and encouraged in the things of God. Lord, we are desperately in need of you tonight. So help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, this is not the first sermon that Jesus has preached. The first sermon he preached, we just have the subject matter of it in verse 17 of chapter 4. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But this is the first sermon that Jesus preaches where we have an in-depth account of what he had to say. And it interests me that he starts the sermon with the word blessed. Because if you go back to the Old Testament, I may have mentioned this week, the last book and the last chapter and the last verse and right down to the last word in the Old Testament is the word curse. And that's where we're left at the end of the Old Testament. Amen. We're left under a curse. But when the Son of God shows up in Matthew and he opens his mouth and we read a minute detail what he had to say, his word for us is not curse, but his word for us is blessing. I'm glad there is a blessing for those who will trust the Lord Jesus. I'm glad he came to bring blessing to you and I that were under the curse. And we could spend a lot of time on that word blessed, but I'm interested in what he had to say with it in this verse. Blessed, who are the blessed? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, if you read what Luke says in the parallel passage or the companion passage, Luke will leave off the in spirit part and he'll just record this: blessed are the poor. This would be a revolutionary idea to these folks because nobody wanted to be poor and nobody thought it was good to be poor and nobody thought you could be happy if you were poor. It's kind of a revolutionary idea in the day that we live because everybody thinks the more I have, the happier I will be. The more I possess, the more blessed I will be. But Jesus said, blessed are the poor. Now, I don't think he's just speaking in this passage about the poor physically. But I think he's giving us a greater truth here about the poor spiritually. Blessed are the poor in spirit. But since Jesus said in Matthew, blessed are the poor in spirit, and in Luke records, blessed are the poor, we might learn something about poverty and about poor being poor in spirit by thinking about those that are poor physically. Now, when I talk about the poor tonight, I have three things I'm going to say to you. When I talk about the poor, I'm not talking about those who choose to be poor. There are those in the world today who wouldn't work a job if you gave them one. They wouldn't live in a house if you gave them one. They'd rather live in a cardboard box. They'd rather live under an overpass somewhere. They're poor by their own choice. But there are those today who are poor not by their own choice, but because of their circumstances. Perhaps some sickness has left them in poverty. Certainly a financial reverse left them in poverty. Somehow, perhaps they were born into poverty. They're not poor by their own choice. They're poor by their circumstance. And I believe that's what Jesus is talking about here. The poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor. You know, when you read your Bible, the Bible is constantly reminding us about the danger of pride and the danger of arrogance and the danger of having having a haughty spirit. This poor in spirit quality will be missing, the Bible said, in the last days of the church. Because in the Laodicean age, Jesus will say this, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He said, we won't know what we are. We won't recognize the fact that we are poor. You know, when you read your Bible, I think I counted up 82 times in the New Testament and in the Old Testament where the Bible associates pride and arrogance with wickedness and with sin. The Bible said the proud in heart will not seek after God. The Bible said them that are proud, God is not in all their thoughts. The Bible said them that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Pride was the first sin ever committed in the universe. The devil said, I'll exalt my throne above the throne of God. I will be like the Most High. Pride was the first sin ever committed in the earth, because I believe that's what Eve meant. The devil said to her through the serpent, and God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And that's what she wanted to be. She wanted to be God. She wanted to decide. I'll tell you this, pride is the first sin mentioned in the book of Proverbs. In six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. The very first thing on the list is a proud look. Pride is the first sin that holds back revival. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name, what's the first thing on the list? Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. But that humbleness, I tell you what pride did. Pride caused Saul to lose his crown. Pride caused Nebuchadnezzar to crawl on his hands and knees in the palace courtyard for 7 years like an animal. Pride caused Uzziah the king to become Uzziah the leper. Pride was what kept Jonah from going down to Nineveh. Pride causes the destruction of nations. And so Jesus begins this passage about being blessed by dealing with our pride. And he tells us, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, the poor in spirit are not, to be poor in spirit does not mean that you have a petty spirit. Somebody said, well, I know somebody's poor in spirit. They're critical all the time. No, that's not being poor in spirit. That's just having a bad attitude. Sometimes someone will say, well, to be poor in spirit means that you have a purged spirit. In other words, you clean things out of your life. That's not, somebody said, well, I'll go up and live in a monastery and take a vow of poverty. That has nothing to do with being poor in spirit. Someone will say, well, a pouting spirit is a poor spirit. No, you've heard somebody say this, don't get around so-and-so today. They're in a bad spirit. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about depression. He's not talking about being critical. He's not talking about purging yourself of things. So what is he talking about to be poor in spirit? Let me say three things to you tonight. Now get out of the way about being poor in spirit. First thing I notice about being poor, the poor and the poor in spirit. The first thing I notice is they are extremely desirous. Extremely desirous. You said, preacher, what do you mean? You find somebody that's really poor and doesn't want to be poor. Here's what they want. They want to better their position. They're not satisfied where they are. They're not happy in the situation they're in and the condition they're in. And they're looking for some way to get out of it. They're looking for something better. They want to be better than they are. I tell you, when we know we're poor in spirit, when we're hungry for something more than what we've got, when we're hungry for more of God than what we've got, when we sit and say, well, I've arrived, I've done enough, I've gone far enough, we're not poor in spirit then. But I tell you, when we're coming to the altar and we're on our knees crying out to God, say, oh God, I gotta have something more. I want to know you better. I want to love you more. I want to serve you more. I want more of that sweet Holy Ghost. I want more of the character of Christ. That's when we know we're poor in spirit, when we have a hunger. Do you have a hunger tonight? You say, well, preacher, I've been in a long time. I'm doing pretty well. Well, that's not what the poor in spirit say. The poor in spirit say, boy, if I could just do a little more for Jesus, if I just loved him a little better than I do, if I just knew him a little better. Jesus will expand on that a little bit later when he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Our verse over in Hebrews chapter 11, Brother Joe might have quoted it this week when it said, but he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. That's what the poor in spirit do. They diligently seek the Lord. Their whole tenor of their life and the hunger of their life is more of him, more of him, more of him. He must increase, I must decrease. That's what John the Baptist said. That's what it is to be poor in spirit, to have a hunger for Christ. Over in the book of Luke, the Bible tells us about the Pharisee and the publican. And the Pharisee got up. In fact, you could turn over there. I think it's Luke chapter 18. And here's what Jesus said about the parable here of the Pharisee and the publican in verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Now watch this. And despised others. Those two things always go together. Self-righteousness and despising others. They always go together. And he said this, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Most of that's a pretty good testimony. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. That's pretty good testimony. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. That's pretty good testimony right there. The problem is, he's satisfied with that. That's all he needs. Self-righteousness. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, what did Jesus say? Jesus didn't say, well, what a good man over there. He doesn't do this and he does that. No, here's what he said. He said about that publican, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Somewhere we got off the track. Somewhere we got off the track. Where we thought because we don't and because we do that we're somebody. I tell you what we better do. We better remember we're dirt, friend. We better remember what we were when God found us. We better remember we're just sinners saved by grace. And without the mercy of God, every one of us be on his way to hell. And we better be poor in spirit, hungering for more of God. We become smug and satisfied. And we're not hungering. And that's why the Bible will say in that Laodicean church, he's standing at the door and he's knocking. How come he's outside? Because they don't need him. They get along just fine without him. Are you getting along fine without him tonight? Or are you hungering for him? I need more of you, Lord. I need more. I would say to you that the poor are extremely desirous. Matthew Henry said those that would be rich in grace must betake themselves to the poor trade of begging, and they shall find it a thriving trade. And I'm going to tell you, God will hear the cry of a beggar. God will hear the cry of the poor in spirit. The Bible said on two occasions that he resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. And when we get poor in spirit, we're fixing to get something from God. There extremely desirous. Here's the second thing about the poor in spirit. They are entirely dependent. If anything's going to happen for them for their good, it's going to have to come from outside them. They are entirely dependent on someone else. They've got to have someone else. Faith, one writer said, James McConkie said, faith is dependence upon God. And this God dependence only begins when self-dependence ends. And self-dependence only comes to its end with some of us when sorrow and suffering and afflictions and broken plans and hopes bring us to that place of self-helplessness and defeat. Our brother this week, Brother Wagner, was preaching how the book of Ruth. I love the book of Ruth. You know, you get to chapter 3, and you know where we find Ruth in chapter 3? We find her laying at the feet of Boaz. Now, she needed Boaz to do the part of the kinsman redeemer, and she's laid at his feet. Now, here's my question. How come she's not at his feet in chapter 2? She needs him just as much in chapter 2 as she does in chapter 3. The truth is, she needs him in chapter 1. But she needs him just as much in chapter 2 as she does in chapter 3. But how come she's not at his feet until chapter 3? Because at the end of chapter 2, the Bible said this. She abode fast by his maidens until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest. Up until that harvest was over, Ruth could go out in the field and glean and provide for herself. But when the harvest was over, she cannot provide for herself anymore. And if he don't do something for her, she is finished. So you know where we find her? We find her laying down at his feet because she has come to the end of her own ability to provide for herself. I tell you why we're not laying at the feet of Jesus. We still feel like we can do a little in the field. We still feel like we can change somebody. We still feel like we can get it done. But if we ever got poor in spirit and saw how entirely dependent we are on him, I tell you what we'd do. We'd get down at the feet of Jesus. And we'd beg him, say, Lord, if you don't do something, nothing's going to get done. We've got to have you. I'm sure I've told you about this before, but I'd like to hear it again. I was preaching in a home for wayward girls in Mississippi. And I was preaching with a man who, if I named him tonight, everybody in here would know who he is. He's preached tens of thousands of times. It takes him 5 hours every day to get through his prayer list. I know he's read it by his own testimony. He's read his Bible through 154 times. And I've heard him preach. And I mean a man of God, my hero. I'm preaching with him. So I'm down in the basement of this home. The auditorium we're going to be in is about the size of this platform. And I brought some extra clothes. And I was going to change my clothes after I preached. And I'm going to preach and he's going to preach. And so I'm walking down the hallway and there's one bathroom there. And I'm headed for the little schoolroom and I'm going to hang my clothes in the schoolroom. And as I walked by that bathroom, I heard groaning and moaning. And I stopped. Now remember, I'm preaching in a home for wayward girls. Girls have been in trouble. And so my first thought was, one of them girls is in trouble. One of them girls has got into something. She's in that bathroom. She's in trouble. So I stopped and I leaned over at the door to listen. To see if what was going on and if there's something I needed to do. And I heard moaning and I heard groaning and I heard a voice. And the more I listened, I could tell it wasn't a girl's voice. It was a man's voice. And I could tell by how muffled it was that he was on the floor, whoever was talking. And what he was doing was he was praying. And I probably shouldn't have listened, but I was just mesmerized by it. So I stuck my ear to the door and here's what I heard. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God, I have to preach tonight. Oh God, don't let me preach alone. Oh God, don't let me preach in my own strength. Oh God, I need you. Oh God. You know who it was? Is that man that's preached all those tens of thousands of time and has 5 hours every day in his prayer closet and read his Bible through 154 times. He wasn't getting in the pulpit saying, well, I got a good outline. I've used it before. No, I tell you what he's doing. He's on his face before God, poor in spirit, begging God, saying, Lord, I got to have some help. I got to have some help. Blessed are the poor in spirit. They are entirely dependent upon the help of God. You and I knew how dependent we were tonight. If we just knew how desperately we needed him, we've got to have him. Let me go on. There's some more. I said, let me go on. Not only are they extremely desirous, and the poor in spirit are entirely dependent. I will say this. You look it up in your Bible. God has a way. Our Lord has a habit of using nothings when they're just nothing. He'll take that nothing and make something out of it. So I think tonight, if we'll recognize we are nothing, he'll take us and make something out of us and use it for something that will glorify him and bring honor and glory to him. We are entirely dependent. Here's my last point tonight. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? They're extremely desirous. They are entirely dependent. But here's the last thing. They are easily delighted. What do you mean, preacher? It don't take much to make them happy. You don't have to do much for them to make them thankful. If you find somebody that's really, truly, and honestly poor, you can just give them some little old thing and they will be so excited about it and so happy about it. You know how we can tell when we're truly poor? Everything God does, we're thankful for it. Every little token of His grace, every little token of His mercy. You won't find the poor bad mouthing how God has been treating them. You won't find them negative about God. You won't find them criticizing what goes on down the house of God. You won't find them talking bad about the preacher man. I'll tell you what you'll find. You'll find them saying, boy, wasn't God good to us today? Didn't God bless us today? Didn't God help us today? Isn't He a sweet God? Isn't He a precious Lord? Isn't He a wonderful Savior? The poor are easily delighted. Some friends of ours that we know, they adopted a little girl from a Romanian orphanage. And they brought that little girl to America and adopted her. The first night they laid her in the bed, she laid down on the bed and put her arms over her head. And the reason she did that was because in the orphanage they tied them to the bed at night to make sure they didn't get up and walk around. The first time they fed her a meal, she put her arms around her plate like this because she thought she's going to have to fight for that food in order to keep it, because that's the way it was in the orphanage. But Bethany and the little girl's mama and her grandmother went shopping one day. And they found in this little store, they found this little ink pen about this long. And it had different colored feathers out the top of it. I think it might have cost $1.78 or something. And that little girl took a liking to that little ink pen with those brightly colored flowers. And so Bethany bought it for her. And you should have seen her at church that night. She took that little ink pen. She showed it to everybody. She showed them the flowers. She stroked those flowers with her fingers. She just grinning from ear to ear. She had that little pen. It was a little something that if you and I had it, it wouldn't mean much to us, but it meant the world to her because she knew what it meant to be poor. Some said, preacher, why are you thankful to God? Because without Him, I had nothing. And when He found me, I was lost and on my way to hell. And my life was in a shambles. And I was a mess, an absolute mess. And I was getting worse every day. And He came by and He picked me up out of that miry clay. And He set my feet on a solid rock. And He established my goings. And He put a song in my heart. And I won't tell you, He's been good to me along the way. He's blessed me beyond measure, above what I could ask or think. I tell you, He's been good to me. And I've got a sneaking suspicion tonight that He's been pretty good to you. You may not be talking about it, but you ought to be. You ought to be telling somebody what a great Savior He is, how wonderful He's been. Everything He does for us. You got out of bed this morning, hallelujah. You had a mind to think this morning and eyes to see. God was good to you, saved your soul. I put the Holy Ghost in you, made you a citizen of the New Jerusalem, made you hell proof forever, hallelujah. Calls you His brethren and His sons, and we're headed for a land that's fairer than day. Thank God, we'll all be thankful tonight. We'll be delighted in what He's done for us. Blessed are the poor in spirit. They're extremely desirous. They want more of God than they have. They're not satisfied where they are. They want to walk closer to Him. They're entirely dependent. They know they can't get by without Him. And they are easily, easily delighted. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I want you to bow your heads a moment, if you will. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Can I ask you something tonight? Are you hungry for more? Are you in a place where you say, oh God, I got to have more of you. Lord, I want to know you better. I want to be closer to you. I want to be more like you. Oh God, I'm not satisfied where I am. I'm not settled where I am, where I'm at. I want more, Lord. More of Thee. More about Jesus, what I know. That's what the songwriter said. More of Him. I want to be filled of the Holy Ghost, Lord. I understand the terminology. I know we don't get more of the Holy Ghost. We got all there was. But I want Him to have more of me. I want him to have more of me. I'm not satisfied where I am. What about it tonight? Maybe you're in a dark place, a difficult place. The truth is, we need him all the time. But you're in that place tonight where you just absolutely need him to do something. Won't you come tell him so? Won't you ask him? I don't think we ought to be ashamed to beg him. That Syrophoenician woman said, Lord, have mercy on me. He said, it's not meet to give the children's bread to dogs. She said, truth, Lord, but the children eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She said, Lord, I'm not ashamed just to ask for a crumb. I just need a crumb. And I tell you, she got more than a crumb. Hallelujah. Maybe tonight you ought to just come and thank him. Tell him how delighted you are with his blessing and his care and his fellowship. Just tell him tonight. While our sister plays, let's stand to our feet. The preacher's going to come. God's dealing with your heart. You just obey the Lord tonight. I'm going to tell you, if you know you need him, he'll respond to somebody that needs him. He said, a broken heart and a contrite spirit thou wilt not despise, O Lord. In fact, he said, I dwell with them that are of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And if you need him, won't you come and tell him? He wants to help you.